Welcome to the Kid Craddock Podcast. It's a condensed version of the show. We've painstakingly smushed it together for your listening pleasure. Enjoy! Kid Craddock in the morning.
Have you heard Macklemore's new song?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty good,
it's like
too.
It's the third single, yeah.
It's more of a manifesto than a song. He's basically rapping about equal rights and about loving everyone and
because his uncle
gay marriage.
His uncle was
gay. Uncle's gay.
Up,
and it's like it's finally time to accept this.
And how he was afraid that he might be gay when he was a child. And
because he liked
his mom was like, no.
But it's cool to see that because you don't hear that in hip hop ever.
You don't.
Well,
and
you
one of the lines
now.
In there is you would think that hip hop hates gay people. He says that in the song.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that from listening to it.
But it's changed.
Yeah. But now it's different. I
thought you were about to start rapping.
No, that's really not my thing.
New Music Tuesday on Kid Craddock in the Morning.
All right, can somebody help me with this? Courtyard Hounds?
Courtyard Hounds.
Courtyard Hounds is apparently made up of the Dixie Chicks minus, what's her name? Natalie Maines.
Because she went solo, right?
Marty McGuire and Emily Robinson. Of the Dixie Chicks. Who doesn't know the Dixie Chicks, right? Well, this is their second album, Courtyard Hounds. They say they finally feel like a band now. You want to hear what they sound like?
Yeah.
All right, this is their song called Sunshine, Courtyard Hounds, the former Dixie Chicks minus Natalie. One critic said, it's more tasteful without Natalie, sure, but it's also boring and lacking in bite. The record is so blandly agreeable and sunny that it almost seems like self-parody that its first track should be called Sunshine.
Oh, wow.
Call you Sunshine. Yeah, see, Natalie was the spark plug in the band, you know, and also one of the better writers.
And that was the voice you recognized.
Yeah. And the singer, yeah, that's gonna be tough.
But she's completely turned her back on country music.
She has. She has
like,
a new album out. She has a new album out too, and it's supposed to be great.
Yeah.
The soundtrack to the animated Turbo is out today.
Oh, the snail thing.
Mm-hmm. You know about this?
It's a snail cartoon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who plays the snail?
I don't know who plays
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, I think it's Ryan Reynolds.
Oh,
yeah.
My dude.
Yeah, and he feels the need for speed, but he's a snail.
I know he's in the movie, but I'm not sure if he's Turbo or not.
Snoop Dogg is on the soundtrack and Pitbull on the soundtrack. Here's Snoop right here.
Party to place. Having the time of your life is falling your face.
Has he slipped a little bit, Snoop?
He's slipped a long time.
Slipped a whole bunch.
Is he
kind of just like a novelty thing now?
Yeah.
He's done enough. He's just doing whatever.
He is getting paid. That's all he cares
he's getting
about.
Paid. That's
doing
true.
Hot pockets.
Yeah.
He's no longer Snoop from the LBC.
Right. And Pitbull's on there, too. It's an animated 3D movie about a snail named Turbo that dreams of becoming a race car driver. After a freak accident infuses him with the power of super speed, Turbo kicks into overdrive and embarks on an incredible journey. The snail wants to compete in the Indianapolis 500. I love cartoons just because they can come up with anything they want.
Yeah.
The soundtrack drops today. The movie hits the theaters tomorrow. Again, Snoop Dogg and Pitbull on the soundtrack to the animated movie Turbo. And who is the woman who, in her first visit to our studio, we'd heard great things about it, like she's going to be the next big thing. And we're promoting it for like 7:45, and 7:45 comes and goes, and we get a phone call that says, I've got a flat tire. It was from her. She's like, I have a flat tire.
I remember this.
The record guy's with her, but he's like, oh, I don't know what to do.
But I was wrong. It wasn't Haley from Paramore.
No. The girl that was with Dre and Eminem.
Oh, Skylar?
Was it Skylar?
Wasn't Skylar. Mm-hmm. It was this girl right here.
Oh, Sarah. Sarah Bareilles.
Cool. And she was afraid. We thought she'd be lying, that she was like a diva that overslept. She came in with the grease still on her hands.
She didn't wash her hands.
She didn't wash her hands. And of course, if I was that late, I probably would have rubbed my hands on the tires, too. I bet a lot of guys have done that when they come home late.
Oh, no,
they just rub their hands all over their tires.
Yeah. Put some smudge on their face.
Yeah, no on their face. Can't go overboard with it, though. It looks too obvious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, so Sarah Bareilles has a new album out today. It's called The Blessed Unrest. And the hit single from it is called Brave. Want to hear that?
Yes.
All right, here it is.
Say what you want to say.
says her mission with this album is to try to inspire people to be brave and say what they really think and feel to others.
Sometimes.
And to write down those things on a postcard that are the most painful things that you could ever write down about yourself, but go ahead and say them. Get them out there. I argue with that theory. I think that's a dumb theory.
Even the sound of her voice sounds like she's in pain.
Here's her other single that's coming out next. It's called Manhattan.
You can have Manhattan.
Her voice is butter.
The one we used to share.
Butter.
Butter.
One where we were laughing and drunk on just being there.
Hey, kid. It's 4:30, and this is your little voice in your head telling you to rise and shine. Doesn't your little voice sound cute? Kid, it's Sarah Bareilles. Wake up!
That's cool that she put that in her album.
That really doesn't fit there. They're like, who's Kid?
That's fine, though.
That's interesting. I'm not gonna write you a love song. This is her live with us. The Blessed Unrest. I'm a fan of Sarah Bareilles. I like her a lot.
She's a cool girl.
Yeah. I'm not gonna write you. Yeah.
Remember, she beat Maroon 5 at the UCLA competition, Battle of the Bands.
She did. Yeah, they had the Battle of the Bands, and she beat Maroon 5.
Yeah.
You just said that. I just reordered it. Yeah. We talk about the best performances ever in our studio, and we've had great performances in the Canalside Lounge. Prior to that lounge being built, the two best performances we ever had in here, I think, were Blue October, when he did Into the Ocean, and was Justin was basically crying while he's performing it.
And Hate Me Too. I mean, both of them were
and Hate Me,
powerful.
He poured it all out there.
But to me, the very best one we ever had in terms of just vocal prowess and being just fantastic as a singer is Sarah Bareilles singing Gravity on the show. Do you guys remember this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She hits a note here that might be the longest note ever hit on Kid Craddock in the Morning.
Fall another moment into your gravity. Here I am and I stand so tall. I'm just the way I'm supposed to be. But you're onto me, all over me.
She's so good.
A little slow.
This is a great song.
You don't think it's a good song?
It's a little slow.
It's slow.
It's a great song.
I wasn't here yet working with you guys when she did that, but I've seen the video, like going back through and watching it. It's really, I mean, you have to be in the mood to listen to something slow. It's
slow,
really good.
It's really pretty.
Really good.
At the end, she's like, bring me.
Do it,
And like, it holds it for like an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's perfect. It's a perfect note.
Sarah Bareilles made us late that day because of her long note.
Exactly. And showing up late, too. You know, also today, Kids Bop 24 is out.
Yay!
Oh, man, I missed the 1 through 23.
24 albums of children ruining hit songs. Here they are.
We're making them better.
No.
Oh.
No. 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 And not one kid wearing a suit and tie in the video.
Yeah.
That's a jacket.
Other watered down tracks include I Knew You Were Trouble, Beauty and a Beat, Ho Hey, Scream and Shout, Mirrors, Heart Attack.
What's nice, they do edit out the questionable lyrics and replace them with nice ones.
So they didn't do A$AP Rocky?
No A$AP Rocky, bad
Banking Problems.
Yeah.
What about
Blanking
Jay-Z
Problems?
And Kanye,
no.
Ends in Paris?
Ends in Paris is not on there.
Then do that one thing.
Yeah. They also left out Bitch Better Have My Money. It's not on there.
Wow. Let me get a good look at you.
They switched it.
Is that supposed to be a kid right there?
That's a girl, I think.
Kids Bop 24 is out today.
They took out Habit, too? Come on, man.
I know.
Wish that had been around when I was in the Cincinnati Boys Choir.
Yeah. Yeah, we hear about that a lot.
I don't think you would have made it, Jenna.
And our little discovery, Tim Halperin, you know? He's performing at our Kids concert, first ever, August 15th at the House of Blues Dallas.
Tickets on sale now.
With Jason Derulo and Andy Grammer, tickets on sale at Ticketmaster. Well, Tim Halperin has a new single dropping today. You can pick it up on iTunes. It's called Dear Sophie. He said he's never had a reaction from fans like he's getting for this song.
So go on and dream as big as the sea, but don't let the tide too far from me. Oh, go on and find who you wanna be.
just know that my love for you will never leave, dear Sophie.
Reminds me of Ben Folds, a little bit. Really good song.
He's a great boy.
That's Tim Halperin, his new single. Chris Brown's album X was supposed to drop today, but because of his probation getting revoked yesterday, they are now afraid that he won't be a free man to promote his album. They are delaying the album until they see what the judge says. Because if the judge sends him to jail...
They're going to wait 4 years to release it?
I don't know. They ought to get it out right now.
Yeah,
just give
put him on tour.
Give him 2 weeks. Get him on tour really quick.
The Kid Nation app. Hear the show and watch it 24/7 on your iPhone or Android. Get it in the App Store right now. Kid Craddock in the morning.
Right, The Bachelor was on last night. The Bachelorette, sorry. And I finally figured out what this is. It took me a while. The Bachelorette is an updated Greek tragedy for middle-aged housewives. That's what it is.
What?
It's because we have characters on the show, guys in this case, that we know are going to end up heartbroken, devastated, destroyed, crying, sniveling in the back of a limo on the way to the airport. We know it's coming.
I know.
We know who it is almost every time.
Except last night I was kind of...
And they don't know it.
I was kind of shocked last night.
And they don't know it. And I'm speaking, of course, about Zach. Zach is the guy that came out of the limo in the very first show with no shirt on.
Right.
And didn't think that out very well because they didn't give him a shirt the rest of the episode.
Yep.
I guess he thought I would show up, show off my great abs, and he even had a cheesy line. He's like, I know you liked Sean before, and Sean was well-built, so I'm asking you, will you accept these abs?
Yeah, that was clever, kind of. That was kind of
memorable.
Weird, but.
Corny, but...
Yeah. He's still there.
Yeah. Still there.
He was still there.
But then the rest of the episode, he's sitting in the living room with no shirt on, and you could tell he's like, oh, my God, I'm so stupid.
I'm that guy.
I'm so stupid.
But
I'm
even
so
the guy
stupid.
With the night costume got to take it off.
Yeah.
And he had clothes underneath it.
But somehow she saw through that because Zach is truly a genuine, fun, and loving, adventurous person.
She really is.
He's a good dude.
A great dude.
He's going to be a good dude.
I'm not sure if he's straight. I'm not 100% sure.
I feel like when I turned the show on that these guys thought they were auditioning for The Bachelor.
I think the last 100% straight guy is gone. I think this guy might
be a touch.
75%.
Baseball player dude is full-on man, I think.
He might be. He might be.
But Jenny, you're saying a gay man isn't a full-on man?
I think you're right.
No, I'm just like full-on dude. Like, bro.
Here's what else hit me. The Bachelorette will not be successful if they recruit normal guys to be the bachelor to be the bachelors. It will not work.
A normal guy wouldn't do it.
Because a normal guy is not going to put up with it.
Yeah.
And a normal guy is not going to create drama. And a normal guy isn't overly sensitive to everything. So they had to go find a bunch of metrosexual guys who are super sensitive and expressive. Do they all freaking write poetry? Does every one of them write? Can there be one guy on here who four wheels?
You don't write
poetry? We have one man on this show.
That's the problem.
One man.
That's the guy that wouldn't do
I know,
the
it's
show,
me
though.
Saying this. It's me saying this. And I am, you know, I'm really not the poster child for,
manly
you
man.
Know, yeah, for Dynasty hetero.
See, but, I find myself cheering them on when they get kicked off. I'm like, come on, dude, don't cry.
Yeah.
Don't cry. You could do this. Don't
it's
cry.
It's sad that you have to even do that, though.
I'm like, you have been freed to be who you are now. And I know that your parents will hate it for a while, but you just need to get over that.
Come on out.
But Zach did a good job yesterday.
Zach was great. And Zach even gives her a ring, looks like an engagement ring that he bought in Atlantic City. And Zach's family is the greatest family ever. I would have joined that family in a second. Like, put me in there.
They're all fun and stuff.
They're fun and they're hugging and they're loving. And
hey,
they're...
look at the family before you decide who you're marrying. That really, I mean, you're stuck with that family.
Yeah, but you compare that
they
to...
They can make or break your relationship.
You compare Zach's family to what's Dez's crazy-ass family?
I know. Who would sign up for that?
Nobody.
No.
He pulled that thing out. I'm like, oh, is that a pillbox?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I thought, cool.
Like he's going to give her an antidepressant.
Jenna would say, I do. Yeah. I do.
Now. So every
overture. You accept this pill?
Every overture that Zach makes towards Dez is greeted with a reaction of, oh, that's so nice. Oh, I'm speechless. And then it starts to hit Dez. I'm not going to pick this guy.
Right.
No.
And it's making me really sad because he really loves me, and I'm starting to project back when I really loved Sean, and he's not going to pick me.
And there was a moment in the show where she was talking to his sister,
Yeah.
And her and his sister asked her flat out, "So, my brother made it past the friend zone." And he clearly did not make it past the friend zone. He is stuck in that friend zone. He's not ever getting out of that friend
zone. Because the sister knows he's always in the friend zone.
And he's always in the friend zone. And Dez flat out lied and said, "Yeah, he totally did."
So it's the hometown visit, and Zach brings Dez home to some small town in Texas somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Miko.
Yeah, I've never even heard of that.
I hadn't either. And the family's great. And I told you, Dez is getting more and more uncomfortable because it's clear that
he's not the one.
That Zach is not going to live without her, and she doesn't want him.
Mm.
So when Zach gets his guitar,
oh no,
and gets the sister and the brother.
Oh,
to sing a song that he wrote for her,
one that he performed for her at the talent show.
Yeah,
and they rewrote it about the family.
Yeah,
no,
and she starts crying during the song, but not because she's so in love and touched by this, but because she knows she's going to have to kick him off in about 15 minutes.
That's why she was crying.
Yeah, that's why she was crying.
I'm about to throw up.
Yeah.
The fire inside
this is the sister.
It's true.
She's really pretty. They're very extroverted. Yeah.
That's the brother.
At first, I thought maybe she'll go for his brother. He's kind of, he's decent looking, but he's just bad.
I mean, that was a cool gesture, but it was incredibly awkward.
Look at Dez's face. She's like, "I'm kicking him out."
It was
all this trouble.
You don't know where to look. Even if you're in love with the guy, when somebody's serenading you like that, you don't know where to look. It's just awkward all the way around.
He's playing the guitar. He's not even looking at Dez. He's like looking down because I think he feels like it's awkward.
You don't know where to look.
The brother and the sister are singing, and they obviously feel a little bit awkward because they're singing to Dez.
Yeah.
It was awkward.
It was very
how weird.
Then we go see Chris's family. Chris is the baseball player, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the one with the chiropractor.
Is that Scottsdale?
Yeah.
He lived in...
All right. So Chris's dad...
The chiropractor guy?
First they go to the baseball park, right? And Dez is pretty athletic.
She is. She was in that ball.
We saw that the first time when she was on The Bachelor.
And that's pretty hot.
Yeah. So he's throwing baseballs up right beside her, and she's just whacking them, and like she's actually athletic. She could catch a fly ball and
nailing her, man.
Yeah. So after that, they go back to the house and meet the family.
Okay. How was his family?
Well,
normal?
Chris's
normal.
Dad? No, not normal at all.
He's a chiropractor, so
not normal at all.
She fell down. Remember, she hurt her back.
The mom is this overbearing, "You're going to destroy my son" kind of woman. Mama's boy. Extraordinaire.
Red flag there.
Yeah. And the dad is a chiropractor.
Touchy-feely dad.
Who in the first 5 minutes of meeting her, and I know this was set up because they told a story where Dez hurt her back, like because they know he's a chiropractor.
Yeah,
exactly. And the next thing you know, Dez is laying face down on a massage table, and the man who is the father of the girl, of the guy you're going to marry, presumably.
But you just met him 2 minutes
ago. 2 minutes ago. He's rubbing your butt and your hand and your back, and
he's adjusting
her. Hey, that is bonus points in my book.
Yeah, that's cool.
Laying down face first with my butt in the air with Chris's dad, who I just met, massaging my back. It's not weird at all. Not weird at all.
You might feel a couple clicks or pops.
Yeah, but it's in the house.
But
he has an office. Yeah. It's his office.
More like
as well.
A dungeon.
Who cares? The awkward back rub.
The awkward part was.
How do you know Dad doesn't like to play touchy feely with his son's
girlfriend?
He is a
professional. That is not fair. Well, she was clothed.
Well, the creepy was.
Oh, he put his name tag on so he wouldn't be such a creeper.
So Chris goes down there, and you know how they do the obligatory dad to son talk, and they're talking about Dez.
Oh my God.
He's adjusting Chris. But his nose.
Yeah.
He's adjusting his nose, so he shoves this balloon up Chris's nose, pumps it up, pulls it out. Horrible camera angle, by the way.
Booger hanging out
it's up the nose. When he pulls it out, he has about 35 boogers come out with it.
And it's just a close-up. Here, listen to this.
I'm just using one ply here.
Okay. My dad, he's giving me the nose adjustment for the head so many times.
Just blow out your nose.
It's been a while.
Farmer Hanky.
Right there.
I've never heard of that.
Booger City.
May look a little awkward or out of the norm or out of the regular, but that's how that's how we talk.
The bottom line seems to be that, are you compatible?
I mean, it's crazy, but I can see myself with her
great
permanently.
And he's got a balloon in his nose.
He's got a balloon shoved in his nose.
I want a
nose adjustment.
Before the end of the week, Kelly Raspberry will be getting a
Kelly
nose
will find something.
I've never had that before.
Yeah, well, that doesn't mean you need it.
What does it do?
I don't know.
No. You could just get one of those balloons that they make animals with, shove it up there.
No.
You're
Kelly, if you've lived this long and haven't had it and you're all right.
I've never heard of it.
Well, it's the grossest procedure I've ever seen.
I didn't look
really
gross.
That's kind of cool.
I just love that this dad's like, okay, you want to marry her. I'm going to have to go rub her down first. Yeah. Let me see what I think.
Yeah, what if his dad was a proctologist?
Well, you know what?
Up there putting a rubber glove on.
I'm
going
to need to give her a mammogram.
Yeah.
I bet a chiropractor could tell a lot about a person's personality based on the way their body is all hunched
up,
if they carry a lot of stress in certain parts of their bodies. I bet it does tell a lot.
Okay. It's inappropriate.
Skip it.
It's a girl you just met to throw her down.
But you know what? Normally, I don't think in a normal
dating
situation.
She's going to be your son's fiancé. You don't throw her down on the table 1 minute after meeting her.
I pay hundreds of dollars for strange men to rub me.
Don't you think it makes her uncomfortable? Isn't the goal to someone in your home to make him comfortable, not to throw him on a table with her big butt on camera?
I don't think he would do that if it was a normal dating situation.
Chris's dad has gotten farther with Des than Chris has gotten.
Exactly.
But he's actually gotten to touch
Chris
the booty.
Chris has done way more.
Chris hasn't gotten to touch the booty
Chris's
yet.
Chris's dad's done way more.
We all pay strangers to rub us, so
that's
what's
right.
the big deal?
She didn't
at
sign up for that.
I will let any man
I will too.
Sit in his chair at the mall, you know, and I don't know them.
Okay. Then we've got Drew. Drew is the former Ford model who is now a digital marketing analyst.
What?
And Drew is gay.
Drew, well, that's not really fair of us to
it's
out
not.
Someone
it's not
like
fair
that.
At all, but Drew needs to hear it too. Drew, you're gay. And I know you really want to make your parents happy. And I think your dad might be gay too, frankly. But I know you want to.
Wow, you're just going to out the whole family now.
But you should have seen it. I mean,
if she can't figure this one out,
it was pretty blatant.
He's kissing her on the face like he's kissing the wall.
And they kiss for a long period of time, but it's just like. It's so
and he looks at her and he goes, I'm going to tell her tonight's night. I'm going to tell her something. And he goes, I love you.
Oh,
I love you.
That was awkward.
I love you.
Maybe it's just an experience.
I love Lamp.
And he's a great kid. I mean, he's
nice.
Awesome. He's got a mentally challenged sister who is profoundly mentally challenged. Oh. And so she can seem aggressive when she's emotional and happy. She's kind of scary at first to strangers, you know, and he was very worried about that, but he went and picked her up and brought her over. The dad is a saint. I don't know if it's the dad or if it's Creepy Bob or the new husband or whatever, but there's some kind of family dynamic.
One of the guys was
on.
Cool.
Yeah. But yeah, whoever that guy was cool. And he's like, have you ever met an angel? Kelly, do you believe in angels?
Yes, I do.
Yes. Have you ever met one?
I probably have.
Because
angels live amongst
because
us.
Because you just did. When you met Drew's little sister, you have met an angel.
Aww.
That's an angel living among us who has taught so much to this family.
That's sweet.
That
about
sweet.
Patience and
that
how
was,
to live. I mean, it's
that was sweet.
So sweet.
If he wasn't gay, she should pick him.
You know what? I think a lot of women would be better off married if he, in fact, is gay.
A lot of women would be
much better off married to a gay man because after a while, sex isn't important anyway. After a while.
When?
I'm sorry.
It does get to that point.
When?
And then you have good company, good conversation. You get to go to the theater together.
Oh, he can do my closet.
No.
Not necessarily.
Okay. When does the love
words, the words you're about to hear out of my mouth are not my words. These are words that are being forced into my head and coming out through my mouth by a consensus of all men.
Okay, go ahead.
So this is not me talking.
Okay.
This is all men talking.
When a woman you're with is nagging you or being like in a mood, whatever, PMSing
Don't
or whatever.
Say it.
Or whatever.
Again, this is not Kid Craddock speaking.
Right.
This is all men.
The only thing we have to hang our hat on is that later we might get to hook up.
Right.
So if you take that out, there's no way a gay guy stays with a girl there's no benefit to hang out.
It would be probably better for a lot of women to be in relationships with men who are gay. Because that's not an issue anymore.
But doesn't he want
to
go
do stuff? That's important
to
us.
It's not important to everybody.
It is very important.
You think it is. It's not important to everybody.
To us guys? That's what we think of the first thing when we wake up in the morning. It's the first thing that's happening in our minds.
And then there's the last guy. What's the last guy with the beard? What's his name?
Brooks.
She's already said, I love Brooks. I'm in love with Brooks.
Brooks is the end all be all.
I'm going to pick Brooks. Yeah. I know I got 6 weeks left.
You know what? That's the editing of the – that means she's not going
to
pick Brooks.
And have you noticed, Brooks is the one that's playing hard to get.
Yeah,
he
has not said I love you
back
to
the guys.
Treating her rough to get the stuff.
He pulls back. He's saying, I'm not really sure about this process. I don't know if I'm as far along as you are. Yeah.
But all of them.
Jen is so proud of herself.
Yeah, she is.
All of them are so.
Because I changed it.
they're all so sensitive. They're all so girly. It's like all four of them mm-hmm. are so, like, there's not a man bone in any of them. You know what I mean?
Let's edit that in post.
I mean, that fantasy suite, they might as well take out the bed and just put in a freaking ping pong table.
Maybe they're gentlemen.
Nothing's going to happen in there.
You mean a blow dry bar?
Sure.
Maybe the guys can go in the fantasy suite by themselves and dance.
Sure.
Go like play some more baseball.
They'd have way more fun in there.
So rude.
So she's going to pick Brooks. I mean, it's obvious.
She's got Tom Brady hair.
That's the crafty editing. Maybe she won't.
She's going to pick Brooks. She's going to take Brooks and Chris to the final two. It was just a matter of, does she kick out Zach this week and feel terrible about it or wait till next week? She went ahead and kicked out Zach. She's going to kick out the other guy.
See, knowing
because she knows he's gay, so she'll kick out Drew.
Knowing how this ends, because I do know who wins, it is very interesting how they've been
playing it
out.
I don't know how it ends. I know
you don't. I know you don't, and I'm not going to give you a hint of how it ends.
But I think I've got it right.
I think
she's going to choose Brooks. But then they show us some preview that shows her crying, didn't expect this, whatever, making it look like Brooks is turning her down. Like, she wants to ask Brooks, but, I mean, she wants Brooks to propose, but he's not gonna. I think they're throwing us another curveball there. That's not what's happening. I also think that The Bachelor did its most cowardly move ever. I said last week, the only reason they picked Dez as the Bachelorette was because of the Freaky Brother.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because they knew the last five episodes of The Bachelorette, they could bring him in once they get it down to the final four or five and let him grill these guys like he did Sean Nunn, because that was compelling and that was entertaining.
And that was great. Yeah. Sean didn't pick her.
It was awkward. It was cool.
So they never explain why Nate is back, right, to the house. He's come to visit Dez. They never explain why. Dez wouldn't want his advice. Dez even says, you know what? You ruined it for me last time.
Right.
You absolutely ruined it. And he goes, well, and I worked out in the end, didn't it? Because I was right about him, because he didn't want you, and I knew that.
He does have a point, Dez.
I mean, if he really wanted Dez, he would have picked Dez.
And he'll be the next Bachelor.
The brother Nate called Sean a playboy back then, if you'll recall.
Oh, no, I think you're just a playboy. You know, you're just having fun with the circumstances, you know, just whatever comes along, you know, just have fun there, then go to the next one, have fun, you know. Yeah. Like you're saying, now you're ready to settle down, so.
Yeah.
So that was when he was with Sean.
And that's the only thing he had wrong, because Sean wasn't a playboy, but he wasn't into Dez as much as she was into
exactly. And he saw that and tried to protect her, I guess.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't have mattered. He'd have been right or wrong.
Either way.
It's going the same way.
Yeah.
No matter what. Yeah. So the brother's back, right? And we're like, finally.
Boom.
I've invested an hour and 40 minutes into this nonsense.
Of course they wait till the end.
Of men who love men dating women. And now I get to see the brother. This is going to be awesome.
He's going to grill people.
Yeah. Nothing.
Nothing. She basically tells him.
He talks to her. She talks to him, and he leaves.
Dude just walked away.
I'm not really interaction at all.
Why bring him back if he can't interview the guy?
He said, right. I'm not going to let you talk to them. And that was it. I mean, we're like, what?
That was it. You're not gonna
Somebody tweeted on the screen. You know, they put the tweets up. Somebody tweeted on the screen, I can't wait till Nate sits down with Brooks. He will have him in the fetal position in 30 seconds. Because Brooks is so sensitive and so, oh. And Nate's going to be like, dude, be a man. What do you do? I mean, Brooks, he would have been all over
nothing.
Brooks. And he doesn't get to talk to any of them.
No.
Such a wuss move on the part of The Bachelorette.
Yep.
Once again, I'm done with this show.
You've said that all season.
Brooks is going to win. Chris is going to be second. That's your whole thing. They take a week off and do the Mintel All next week.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to wait like 3 or 4 weeks for this. Now forget it. I'm done. That's the last Bachelor update. Hope you enjoyed it. That was it.
She picks, just reject her and say that he's in love with the second place guy.
Yeah. I don't wish anything bad for her. I think she's a wonderful person. She's boring, but I think she's really,
she's nice.
I think she's a really good person.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I think all the guys left, all of them are good people.
Great guys.
That's all I'm saying. All right, so don't think I'm hating on everybody.
Nice is boring.
Yeah, they're all really good.
Yeah,
nice
you need
people.
One DB in there. You need to be left
or just
at
somebody
least one
with
DB.
Some kind of an edge.
Something.
Like, who's going to put her in her place? Not that every woman wants that, but there are times when a man has to be a man.
Yeah.
And Kelly, do you hear what I'm
saying? Stand up to me.
And just be like, you know what?
Yeah.
You're not really, I'm not really down with you talking to me like that, so why don't you just step back a second?
Yeah.
You know?
You treat me badly, I'll probably fall in love with you.
Everything is, I think that you are just, when I list, I made a list of our qualities.
I wrote some poetry.
I painted a picture. I had a dream of us melting and children were coming out on the beach, and then ice started falling and we were eating the ice. It was delicious.
What? Yeah. That dream was crazy. And so what are we learning from this? Here's my final synopsis on my last Bachelor update ever. Final
Until
synopsis.
Next week, you
Until
mean.
Next
Here's
week.
What we're learning from this, and it's very disappointing. We're learning that middle-aged women want to watch a show about men who act like women going after a woman.
What?
That's what they want. Mm-hmm. The wussification of America is complete. It is. It's now done.
And there's
America has been completely wussified.
The Bachelorette's fault.
By these four panty waist. Oh,
and there's absolutely no man on that show that they could pick for next season. Unless they want to man
chicken,
up Nate again.
Chicken soup for the Bachelorette's soul. Just so.
Then
somebody,
why? Okay,
dude,
you're so passionate.
Somebody fart or something. Somebody.
Somebody farted a couple episodes
somebody
ago.
Be a, somebody be a man.
Give me a minute, dog.
I can't believe you even said that.
What, fart?
Don't say that word.
We need that.
So
Kelly,
offensive.
After watching last night, I feel like I need to be a man right now. Fart.
You guys need testosterone shots in here.
You're more passionate about The Bachelorette than Jenna and I ever have been.
I'm done.
Yeah, done. Right. No, you're not.
That was it.
You got to watch Ben on the Mentel All.
You're not done. You're not done. You're just disappointed.
JC tells me I've got to watch Ben on the Mentel All.
You're going to cycle back around.
Why don't women want to see a woman with a guy who acts like a guy?
We do. That's why I watched Dexter last night.
Oh, my God. All right, who's not a serial killer.
Dexter kills people.
Who's not a serial killer.
Kid Craddock in the morning.
Closed captioning provided by
Kid Craddock in the morning.
And joining us now via telephone, the incomparable Tim Gunn.
Hey.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I love
Tim
Gunn.
Wow, what a lovely introduction. Thank you all.
Well, I worked very hard on that. I wrote that down and everything. Tim, if your TV show was a person, it would be starting the seventh grade this year.
I hadn't thought of it that way.
Yeah, you'd be in the junior high now.
You're in puberty.
It's been 12, it's a 12th season of Project Runway. 12 seasons, did you ever imagine?
You know, I never thought there would be a season 2, let alone a season 12.
Has your particular compensation catapulted astronomically as a result of the success of this show?
Considering I did the first two seasons for free.
For free?
I didn't know
that.
Anyone was paid for reality television.
So they saw you coming.
So they sold you on the publicity of it. They sold you on, your face will be out there, but they didn't pay you anything.
Actually, you know, I was a consultant. That was an unpaid consultant for the first season. And no one ever dreamed I was actually going to end up on camera.
Wow.
And at the very last minute, the producers sent me into the workroom to interact with the designers and to talk to them about, and have them talk to me about what they're doing.
Yeah.
I think they were afraid no one would speak otherwise.
Wow.
So it was all very last minute. Very spontaneous, and I actually never dreamed I'd end up in the cut of the show that first season. I thought, no one needs to see me. No one needs to hear my voice.
As long as
I have the designers responding to me, who cares?
And now you're like one of the most beloved characters on reality TV. You are.
Well,
now,
thank you.
I'm guessing, I don't know you personally, but I'm guessing that you're a type of person that people like to be around you. You're like a positive, friendly, nice person. Did you imagine that the viewers would love you this much?
Never. I taught for 29 years, so I was used to being in a classroom and used to having students who would, some would love me, some would hate me.
Wow.
I can't imagine who would ever hate Tim Gunn.
Well, it's the tough love aspect where you are a truth teller. I mean, there's no reason to be delusional about something that is, in fact, not so pretty.
So when you're walking through that design room, can you tell me, like, the most difficult thing you ever had to say to someone when they were making a dress or something for that week's episode?
Well, I mean, it's always hard to say to a designer who's already invested, let's say, 6 hours of work.
Yeah.
I usually come in at about the six-hour mark.
Oh, man.
To say, these last 6 hours have been a complete and total waste of your time. You need to scrap everything and start all over.
Oh, man.
That's hard. And that happens infrequently. But my role in the workroom is more about taking the designer aside, literally stepping back from having them step back from the work and looking at it together critically and objectively, because they won't do that themselves. They're just going because they have so little time to execute the work. So that's really my role. It's to get them to look at it.
Well, you have a very big influence on the judges' decisions as well. I think you're the reason the girl was brought back who ultimately won last season was because of your influence directly, right?
Well, that is true. And in fact, that's something I also did spontaneously. I was aware of the fact that the judges were eliminating her, and I thought, she's entirely too talented. This can't happen. So I rushed in front of the cameras. I went right to the judges. And this season, though, we've formalized it. I have my Tim Gunn save or Tim Gunn rescue, however you want to look at it.
Oh, that's how they're switching it up?
Okay.
So, yeah, we are. And also this season, I actually interact with the judges. I have not in the past, other than an occasional hiccup where I'm in front of them saying, listen, sisters.
Yeah, I say that all the time.
I actually bring out the models who are wearing the top three looks and the bottom three looks. I go directly to the judges, to their chairs. They can look at everything very closely. And I get to have my say in my
wow.
say in court.
This changes everything. You know the kind of gifts you're going to be getting now from these contestants? Oh, my God. Now you're suddenly determining their future.
Possibly.
Well, actually, I'm not. I mean, I hope I'm not. If anything, I mean, I'm there to be an advocate for them, but then I go away. So I'm not there for the deliberation. I'm not there for the question and answer session with the designers.
Right.
I'm there with that work, and I can say to the judges when they're saying, gee, I can't believe she didn't finish all the knife pleats in the back. It's like, listen, sister, give them another day. The knife pleats would be finished.
There you go. How many times have I said that? Listen, sister, give them another day. The knife pleats would be finished.
Well, it must be such a dilemma for you, too, when you know one of these designers is just a bad person, but they're so stinking talented. That has to, you know, because we as the viewers get to see what the judges don't.
Yeah.
And we're like, we hate this person, but they're so darn talented.
I know. It is rather sickening, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that true in the design world, too, Tim? Aren't there designers out there that you personally would not want to sit down and have dinner with just because they're just not nice?
There are plenty of them.
Yeah. Who in particular?
The biggest one.
Yeah, drop a couple of names.
How about John Barbados?
I better not, or else I'm going to have to leave New York, which I really don't want to do. But I will say, I would say this to my students all the time, qualities of character are just as important as the talent.
Yes.
They really are.
Yeah.
And it's important to have good qualities of character.
My first radio job, the program director told me, you're hired because of your aptitude, you could be fired because of your attitude.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Aptitude gets you hired, attitude gets you fired.
Do you mind if I quote you?
As long as you say, a very wise man named Kid Craddock, nationally syndicated radio personality, told me once.
And started with, listen, sister.
I'll give you attribution any and every day.
That's awesome.
You know what? He means it.
I do.
I trust Tim Gunn, and I'm so excited. You're saving my summer because Project Runway is back Thursday. Michael Kors is back.
Yeah.
Yay.
For one guest judging.
Okay.
What?
Yeah, that's it.
He's a guest judge.
Why isn't he back on full time? Is it just not work with his busy schedule?
It's just scheduling issues more than anything else.
Can I talk to Tim Fashion to Fashion for just a minute?
Yeah, go ahead.
With that. Tim, you could have knocked me over with a feather when they named Alexander Wang head design for Balenciaga. Dude, I mean, are you shocked by that?
I was surprised.
Yeah. What an out-of-the-box selection that is.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised. And we'll see what happens.
I mean, what's next? James Purse at Chanel?
James Purse. Tim, who is the most famous student, I guess, now? Who has had the most success out of anyone you ever taught at Parsons?
Probably the Proenza Schooler boys, Jack McCullough and Lazaro Hernandez.
Wow.
Wait, you taught the Proenza Schooler guys?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. How do you know about Proenza Schooler? They were my first class.
JC, go to a store sometime,
JC,
okay?
Go buy a PS1. Though.
There's other clothes besides Chess King.
See, I only watched Tim on Sophia the First, so that's what I did.
Exactly.
I'm
really curious because, you know, with all the celebrities turn designer, is that kind of a hard thing to navigate for you, giving celebrities? I mean, let's say Kanye West was on Project Runway. What kind of advice would you have for him with some of his designs tried to make?
Are you cool do you mind critiquing Kanye and what he's put Kim in over the last few months?
And also, are you cool with Kanye wearing leather skirts?
Don't even get me started on that topic. Those Kardashians, enough already.
Yeah. But Kanye fancies himself a designer. Does he have talent? You've seen what he's produced.
Well, he's not really designing anything. I mean, what I actually like about these celebrity labels is, in fact, they're employing real fashion designers to create them.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm always looking at my own students and alumni thinking, okay, as long as someone's giving you employment, I'm fine with it. But to actually posture as though you're the designer, it's ridiculous and it's preposterous.
Okay. Let's talk about Heidi Klum's attitude. because now she's all big time on that America's Got Talent show, right? So she's all better than you and better than everybody now. Are you getting a lot of that from her? Like, I'm so much better than you guys now?
You know, Heidi doesn't have a diva's bone in her entire body.
I believe
she's
that.
Remarkable. She's the sweetest, loveliest, most gracious doll. I mean, I adore her.
I believe you.
All you need to know about Heidi is that every crew member worships her.
Yeah.
And crew members do not suffer fools gladly.
No. Well, she's a gorgeous woman, and women don't hate her. That's all you need to know right there.
Yeah, for real.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, look, we look forward to Project Runway returning Thursday night, Tim. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you so much. You all have a great day.
That's Tim Gunn, you guys.
Hi, Tim.
Kid Craddock in the Morning. We'll be right back.
Listening to Kid Craddock in the Morning.
We're going to call July 16th It Sucks to Be a Guy Day.
New holiday?
Yeah, because we have stories where it definitely sucked to be a guy on July 16th.
Okay.
One guy said that he got beat up by three women because he refused to buy them a drink.
See, that's one of those stories you don't just don't tell people.
Right? They punched him in the face and stuff.
Don't beating say him anything. With their shoes?
Yeah.
You get beat up by a girl, just cool, man. Just go home, call it a night.
This was at Emily's Bar, B, and Grill in Newburgh.
Where?
Newburgh.
Very fancy way of saying that.
Police say the woman claimed a man punched one of them in the face, but their investigation revealed it was actually the woman who did the punching. Elizabeth Condor is 19.
What's she doing drinking in a bar?
She's with her friends Yamara and Mariella.
Shut up.
Uh-huh.
Yamara, Brito, Santiago, yeah, I know her.
And one simple night at the bar, like, hey, you want to buy us a drink? And it goes crazy wrong, and now they are facing felony gang assault charges.
Really?
Gang assault
charges. Well, three of them.
Well, they chased him out of the bar, and then I guess the bouncer, not really understanding maybe what led up to it, he got in on it and started beating up the guy, too.
Because he thought the guy was doing something to the girls.
Right. But hey, as a woman, if I've invested my time talking to you and your ugly self at the bar, the least you can do is buy me a drink. I can see where there'd be some anger and animosity there.
This guy not only suffered injuries to his face and his shoulders. He also fell down, hurt his knee. In fact, he's going to redo that song, Can I Buy You a Drink? And go by the name Knee Pain. Can I buy you a drink?
Yeah.
And how come girls always take their shoes off and use those to stab us?
That's a weapon.
It is a weapon.
You know what? They shouldn't be allowed to do that. That is assault with a deadly weapon.
And that's not every woman. That's women who show up on Jerry Springer and Mari to find out who the baby daddy is, and 19-year-olds trying to get a guy to buy her a drink.
I've only seen a handful of girl fights in my life, and every single time, the girl's taken off the shoe and used it. One time, we were at the club, and kids saw this. Girl was on top of the girl, beating her with
beating
the shoe.
Beating her with the shoe. And you know what? Every time I've been with a girl, just trying to get her to take her shoes off takes like an hour and a half. I'm wearing a strappy pump. Hold on. I got to get this one and this one. And this. But man, in a fight, they got them in their
hands. Right. Here's an interesting concept. Buy your own damn drink at the club. Bring some money. There are girls that I know that don't go out to a club and have no money.
That's shocking, Al.
Zero money.
I've never heard that before.
Knowing that we're going to buy them a drink.
Of course. That's why they have the happy hour. So the broke-ass girls will show up and the guys will go buy them drinks.
That's why women get in free.
Yeah.
So as a girl, that's how you could tell if you're hot or not, because you go out without any money and then you come home sober.
Right.
And one of those girls, she's denying everything. She's holding up her shoe to his shoe print. She's like, if the shoe don't fit, you must have quit. So you see, it does suck to be a guy on July 16th.
Yeah.
How about the man who had his his
snake,
part, his yeah. part,
his snake,
bitten by a snake while he's sitting on the toilet.
Dude, I've been afraid of this my whole life.
I know. I always thought this was like an urban legend. This never really happened.
No, the snake came up from inside the toilet.
And what a boom!
Yeah, put the bite on him right there.
But I've always thought, like, how cool would it be, like, if that did happen? You know how Spider-Man got bit by the spider and became, like, cool when Spider-Man,
yeah,
like,
snake man.
Like, snake powers.
Oh, I see. So I'm just imagining the guy comes off the toilet. He says to his buddy, "Oh, my God, I just got bit by a snake." And the guy's like, "I got this. I know what to do. Where'd you get bit?" He's like, right there. He's like, "You're going to die."
It's Kid Craddock in the morning.
Join us.
Kid Craddock in the morning.
One of the gossip magazines does this feature called Stars Are Just Like Us. And they show them, like, you know, dropping their coffee or, you know, pushing a baby stroller.
Watering their plants.
Yeah. This is really a Stars Are Just Like Us. Beyonce, right before a concert, pulls up in her Hummer and a bunch of limos following and goes to Target and is running around in Target looking at stuff. And people are like,
"Whoa,
when did the diva become the recessionista?" You know, and she's just having a grand old time in Target. People are yelling at her, "We love you, Beyonce." She's like, "I love you too."
Some girl said she saw her in one of the aisles doing hula hoop.
She had a hula hoop out.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The thing is, she went really late at night, about 9 o'clock, when, you know, it's not that busy there, because she wants to go be like regular people every once in a while. I'm sure she misses being able to go to the grocery store and going to Target.
She could have Michael Jacksoned it, right, and called the store, had somebody call the store and say, "Hey, close Target for an hour so Beyonce can shop."
Yeah.
No, she wanted to be. I bet you start craving normal experiences when you're Beyonce and Jay-Z. And going to Target, they can't just walk into a Target together.
I can't imagine being denied that inalienable right, to shop at Target.
You think if Jay-Z goes with her, that he goes and does what we do as husbands and plays video games the whole time while they shop?
I mean, beeline to electronics. I know exactly where it is. Put me in any Target in America. Put me in the front door blindfolded. I'll find the electronics section in 10 seconds.
And we sit there for 30 minutes. No problem.
I wish somebody would tell us what she bought. You know somebody's got the scoop on that.
Well, she was trying on hats.
Well, yeah, they have a wonderful hat collection.
Do they?
And it's on sale, summer clearance.
Do you think she has a Target card where you save like 5%?
Let me tell you the secret about Target.
Oh,
you can get the credit card and it saves you 5%, but the limit is only $500. And that's for everybody, even me, and I'm rich.
Uh-huh.
So I went, I was horrified when they only gave me a $500 limit. It was insulting.
Do you still have your returnable, reusable Target bag or whatever saves you like a nickel?
Yes. So what I did was I got the Target debit card, which still gives you 5% savings, but it comes directly out of your checking account.
Uh-huh.
And if you take a reusable bag, they'll give you a nickel for every bag you bring in.
A nickel.
Yes.
So
a nickel.
So if you spent $500 and maxed out your card,
you get 5% back.
So how much would you save with bags and the 5%?
Well, 10% of 500 would be what?
$50.
$50. So half of that would be 25. That's a lot of money.
But you're rich.
Rich people get rich.
You're rich and you're also crazy.
That's not crazy.
No, it is.
That is being smart.
No, it's crazy.
A nickel back for a bag?
Yeah.
Well, plus I'm saving the environment.
Nickelback.
Jerk.
That's like the worst band ever.
Yeah. And at one point, cameras rolling in the Target. They're about to leave, and Beyonce's like, "Oh, I forgot to get Pepsi."
Well played, B. Well played.
Nice. This probably brought back childhood memories for her because she's from Houston. This was a Target in Houston. She probably used to go to this Target, the same store, when she was growing up.
I hope they didn't let her go by the mirror section, because if she does what she does in her commercial, the mirrors just break when she dances in front of them.
She can't be trusted.
Uh-uh.
Can't handle it.
No way.
I wonder if they made her leave her other bags that she probably already had from previous shopping at the counter before she went and changed, tried on some clothes.
No, she did have bags. They were from Bed Bath & Beyonce.
Oh, how cool would it have been if she got caught stealing?
Aisle 2, customer appears to just put a pound of ground beef in the back of their pants. Beyonce.
You're listening to the Kid Craddock in the Morning podcast, a condensed version of the show. Kid Craddock in the Morning.